Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Stay standing. My Father's house shall be called what? Father, bless this service. Amen. You may be seated. You know what they say, he who prays long publicly does not pray long privately. Open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to continue on with the teachings of the steps of a righteous man or woman are guided by the Lord. Now, next week, I'm going to teach on, this week is the breastplate of righteousness. Next week, I'm going to teach on the breastplate of righteousness of the high priest. If you haven't seen the movie Harriet, you need to see it. But let me just give you a hint. And I told kids, I'll remind me to say this next week. Because when you have the breastplate of righteousness on, one of the things is you hear the voice of God. Amen. Now, that's for next week. If you watch the movie Harriet Tubman, it's not just a story about this incredibly brave woman who escaped and went back. But when she was running through the woods, time after time again, they were waiting. They knew where she was coming at, and she would stop. And God would speak to her and say, don't go right, go left. Don't go straight, go this way. And time and time and time again, she was led by the voice of the Lord. That's one of the keys. That's next week. Amen. All right. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a righteous man or woman are guided by the Lord. Now, we talked about this last week. If the steps of a righteous man or righteous woman are guided by God, when you're a righteous man or you're a righteous woman, God will guide you in your life, in your home, in your family, in your business, in your investments, in your job, whatever it is, God, who knows everything, will guide you. So we looked last week, and I'm saying this very quickly, is what is a righteous man or a woman? And you hear me say all the time, everything God teaches always has how many parts to it?
Two.
Physical and spiritual. So when God is talking about a righteous person, there is the spiritual righteousness in the way we live. And there is the earthly or physical righteousness in what we do. We're going to talk about that more. Genesis 18 says Noah was a righteous person in his generation. Now, excuse me for going so fast. What that means is that no matter what's going on around Noah, Noah decides, I'm not going to live the way the world tells me to live. I'm going to live the way God's word tells me to live. And if that's true for Noah in his generation, it's true for us. The media, the movies, the television, whatever it is, they may tell you it's okay to commit adultery. They may tell you it's okay to cheat on your spouse. They may tell you it's okay to have children out of wedlock. They may tell you these things don't matter, but we need to be righteous people in our generation because Hollywood does not dictate what is right or what is wrong. Politics do not dictate what is right or what is wrong. God dictates what is right or what is wrong, and God needs people that are righteous in this generation. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Doesn't even matter what churches teach. There's a lot of churches that are teaching, and I didn't mean to bring this up, but there's a lot of churches, big ministry, the grace revolution. We're under grace. Yeah, I am saved by grace, but just because I'm saved by grace does not mean that I can cheat on my wife, I can steal, I can rob, yes, I'm saved by grace, but now that I'm saved by grace, I am to follow the teachings of the Lord. Jesus said, where are your accusers? And I say, none here, Lord. And he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. I need a better amen.
Amen.
It's sure popular to teach. All we got to do is love one another. No, I'm sorry. My Bible says thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's brother's stuff. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what my Bible says, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Need an amen from that area over there. Okay. The steps of a righteous man are guided by the Lord. The word steps means the way one goes, the direction one takes. And I'm just going over this real quick. In Hebrew, righteous means straight, upright, and on the path. Wicked means crooked, departed, or strayed from the path. The path is, in Hebrew, the Torah, the Word of God. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody preaches. What matters is what God's word says. If we're righteous, we're on the path. If we're wicked, we have strayed from the path. Here's a clue. Get back on the path. Amen. The ancient Hebrews, understanding this, were, and I'm just repeating this very quickly, were nomadic people. Nomadic people meant they didn't have cities. They wandered from waterhole to waterhole, pasture to pasture. They're in the wilderness, in the desert. If you've ever been into with us in Israel, to a place called En Gedi, where David cut off the hem of Saul's garment. All around, for miles and miles and miles and miles, is unbelievably barren desert. Nothing growing, nothing. You would die out there. But if you got to En Gedi, this is where David said, the heart beats after the brook. He says the heart being a deer, not our heart, but the heart, H-A-R-T. It says, I got to get to that water, because if I don't get to that water, what happens? I die. So they would follow paths or ancient trails, because if they tried to take a shortcut, they would end up dying in the wilderness. God wants you happy. That's why he wrote this book. But we try to take shortcuts. Listen, God wants you to have a wonderful spouse. There's nothing wrong with sex. Sex is wonderful. It's given to us by God. There's a whole book that teaches us about it. But you don't take a shortcut. Until you say, I do, you don't. Oh, I need a better amen. People are watching all over the world. All right. Turn with me real quick. Can you bring up Psalms 23? Can you bring up Psalms 23? Or maybe we can't. Let me just turn there real quick. Psalms 23 is, of course, we know, the Lord is my shepherd. Read this with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. This is God being your shepherd. If God is your shepherd, he will lead you to water. He will lead you to pasture. He will guard you. And even if, you know, when we were in Israel and we were celebrating Tiz's miracle and Lion's miracle, and I can't remember the whole story, it just popped in my spirit. And we're talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. One of our friends in Israel, one of our Jewish friends says, do you know how that reads in Hebrew? If you allow God to be your shepherd and lead you and guide you, he said, even if you end up somehow in the valley of the shadow of death, when it reads, yea, though I walk through the valley, he said in Hebrew, it means God is lifting you up. You're not even walking. And he is carrying you through the valley of the shadow of death. Why would we not allow the Lord to be our shepherd in every area of our life? So this is what a righteous person is. Now read with me on how we stay righteous people. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Here's how you do it. Put on the whole armor of God. Somebody say the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles in Hebrew is the word strategy. In other words, the enemy has a strategy. Number one, he doesn't want you to get saved. But once you get saved, he wants you to blow it. And so he'll bring ambushes along the way. But as long as you stay on the path, he can't ambush you. It's when you get off the path that Satan is a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. If you're on the path, he can't defeat you. But if you decide, you know what, I'm just going to go my way, you're open game. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the strategies, the ambushes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in wickedness in heavenly places. Now, let me just sidetrack here a moment. If Satan came to you, let's say you're doing a business deal, or let's say you meet some young man or some young woman, or you're about to, you're traveling somewhere. And if all of a sudden Satan came up to you and he's got red long johns on, he's got horns, he's got a pointed tail and a pitchfork, and he goes, why don't you just cheat a little? We would go, I rebuke you, Satan. But what if he comes looking good? What if he comes promising blessings? What if he comes dressed as an angel? How do we know not to follow that? What's that song? I'm trying to think of that song. Mama, anyway, I'll think about it. All right, look, where am I? All right. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So our battle in our morals, our battle in business, our battle in our marriage, our battle in our family is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. Say amen. Amen. It's a spiritual battle. Satan is a liar. And so is his mother-in-law. And they're good at it. Right? So how do we stay on the path? Look at it. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The day the devil is trying to ambush you and get you off the path. And having done all to stand, having girded your waist, your loins with truth. Now that's the avos. Doesn't matter what the devil says, doesn't matter what the circumstances say, doesn't matter what our generation says, doesn't matter what anybody else says, what does God's word say? Amen? Remember the old days we used to have those bracelets? What would Jesus do? It's that simple. Well, you know, I feel like maybe God is leading me to cheat on my wife. Listen, I've been in this a long time. There's some times that I want to go, what? You wouldn't believe, you know, Pastor, I really feel like God is. No, it's not God. That's the devil. Devil in a blue dress. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, your loins, which reproduces, having put on, here's where we're at today, the breastplate of righteousness. Now remember, the steps of a righteous man are guided by the Lord. And here the Lord says, the second thing we need to do is put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let me read you. Maybe you can pull it up. Isaiah 61, verse 9. Listen to what this says. Their descendants shall be known. You know what? If you get a chance, write this down. Isaiah 61, and read the whole chapter, because it talks about incredible blessings, gives them beauty for ashes, turns the oil of joy in the morning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vineyards. We're talking about incredible blessing. You shall eat the riches of the nations. Instead of shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in the blessing that's on you. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double, everlasting joy. And it goes on and on and on. Verse 9 says, their descendants shall be known amongst the nations, and their offspring amongst the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. This is linked with Malachi chapter 3. All the world will call you blessed. The world from your family, your neighbors looking at you, and they'll go, why are you so blessed? And you can say, because I serve God. I follow his ways. His ways are above man's ways. The world will see you blessed. You got to understand, this is going to happen in the last days. Not only will there be signs and wonders and miracles, but the wealth of the wicked right now is laid up for the righteous. Come on, somebody. The wealth is laid up for you and I. The world will call you blessed. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. I'm running out of time. Look at that again. That's why it's so wonderful to study it in the original Hebrew language. He has clothed me with the what? Do we have it up there? He has clothed me. Look at this word here. Look at this word here. Say it out loud.
Garment.
Not garment. Garments, plural. He saved me from my sin. He'll save us from cancer. He'll save us from racism. He'll save us from poverty. He'll save us from death. It's not one thing. Okay, well, we're saved. And someday in heaven, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I gotta go. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. The moment we're saved, God places on you and I a robe of righteousness. But here we read what he's saying. Yes, God gives us a robe of righteousness. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. God puts that on us. But every day, like a bridegroom getting ready for a wedding, or a bride getting ready for a wedding, or as Paul said, every day you and I have to put on the armor of God. I got dressed yesterday, and thank God I got dressed today. I got dressed physically, and we need to get dressed spiritually every single day of our lives. Somebody shout amen. Nobody puts this on you. The steps of a righteous man are guided by the Lord. But you and I, every day, every business deal, every time we go to school, every time we meet somebody that wants us to smoke something we ought not smoke, you and I got to put on the robe of righteousness, put on the armor of God, and resist the devil. And when you've done all to stand, stand as a mighty conqueror in Jesus' name. Somebody ought to shout amen. Oh, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. We put on every day. The first thing is truth. The second thing is the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate. What's a breastplate guarding? Your heart. You can get wounded. You know, I was going to teach this last Sunday, and God moved me, or two Sundays ago, and Kenny had given me, he's in the military security, and he gave me this armored, what do you call it? Plate carrier. I mean, it weighed a ton. It was just, you know, where somebody, there was nothing on your arms, nothing on your legs, right here. Because if a sniper's trying to take you out, he didn't want to hit you in the knee. He didn't want to hit you in the hand. He wants to hit you in the heart. Because if he gets you in the heart, you're gone. So God says here, you got to understand, for your home, your marriage, your life, your business, every day, you've got to put on, every day, say every day, you've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to put on God's armament to keep your heart righteous. Can you go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20? Proverbs 4, chapter 20 talks about keeping your heart. Can we bring that up? Picture getting up every day. Every day you get up, every day you go to work, every day you go to school, you have your heart guarded with the breastplate of doing right. My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Next, do not let them depart from your eyes. This is why, just a side note, this is why the Jewish people were told to wear tzitzits, so that every time you're walking, the word of God is always swaying in front of you. Word of God. You know, you ought to cheat on your wife. Oh, maybe I should not. You ought to cheat in this business deal. Oh, maybe God will judge me if I do. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. One more. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart right with all diligence. I looked up the word all diligence, and it means all diligence. For out of it, out of what? Out of your heart springs the issues of every part of your life. I have to say this quickly. The Bible says out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says to serve the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your strength. Heart first. If your heart isn't guarded, your might and your strength won't go with it. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Out of your heart, every part of your life, your home, your family, your marriage, your business, your finances, your debt cancellation, your future, all of it flows out of the issues of your heart. You know, we hear so many times people just say, well, just follow your heart. No, you can't do that. Jeremiah chapter 17, 5-9, I won't take time to read it. It says, your heart is full of wickedness. Man's heart on its own is full of wickedness. Man's heart says, you know what? If I steal that, I'll have more. But when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, God's heart says, you give, then you get more. Well, if I just lie, I'll come out okay. But when you have the breastplate of righteousness, you realize God hates a lying tongue. You know what? If I just gossip a little bit, it'll make me feel good. by putting someone else down. But when you have your heart covered with God's righteousness, you know that whatever words you speak will multiply and come back on you. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Every time you say something bad about someone, you are planting a seed. The Lord of the harvest makes sure every seed you plant multiplies. So I'm going to spread nasty things about this person, but they're rubber, you're glue. They bounce off of them and they always stick to you. Or you're going to take the high road and not gossip and say something good or say nothing at all. And God guards the issues of your heart. It's this easy. It's this easy. You got to teach. Let me put it this way. You got to teach your children to brush their teeth. Now, hopefully, by the time you're my age, nobody has to tell you to brush your teeth. Although, it's a habit. It's the same thing. When I first got saved, the devil would come. When I first got saved, I used to live in South St. Louis, came all the way out to Flagstaff, Arizona. When I was in South St. Louis, I did drugs all the time, every day, several times a day. But nobody ever gave me drugs. Here I am, 1,500 miles or whatever it is in Arizona. I just get born again, just get saved. My phone rings, hello. Hey, Larry. Hey, man, we're in Flagstaff. Come and see us. I gawk in there and there's all these drugs. Here, help yourself. Now, when I was a sinner, nobody came in and said, hey, just help yourself. Come on. But all of a sudden I'm saved and the devil in a blue dress shows up. Now, I had to go. Now, I only been saved for 3 days. And I'm going, now, is marijuana an herb? It's not an herb. It's a thorn or a thistle. But when I was 3 days old in the Lord, I had reluctantly... I don't have to do that now. I haven't had anybody offer me drugs in days. Because the devil knows. That's why Jesus said you cast the devil out and he goes to a dry place. But then he wants to come back. That's the sheep on Yom Kippur when they send the curse out. And it comes back to where it's being watered and being fed. Now, at first, you got to stop watering. You got to stop feeding. But there'll eventually come a time that you go, no. That's not even a question. But that comes because our hearts are naturally unrighteous. But as we say, no, no, no. You know, I haven't had a nicotine problem for weeks. That's a joke. Anybody ever try to quit smoking? It's like, think about when you started smoking. Now, smoking's not a sin. It's not a sin. You say, well, it's a sin because it's bad for you. Well, then don't go to McDonald's on the way home. I'll have a 7 quarter pounders. Could you deep fry my ice cream too? And Tiz, what do you want? Smoking's not a sin. Now, that's not an excuse to smoke. But when you first started smoking, remember when you first started smoking? Smooth.
smooth. I can beat this.
You know what your body is saying? Stupid. This is not supposed to be in there. But then after you beat it, now you have to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But when it becomes a habit, you don't have to resist. It needs to be a habit to be honest. It needs to be a habit to be moral. It needs to be a habit to be happy. You ever meet somebody that's always in a bad mood? It's a habit. But we can break that curse by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. And again, I say, if you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, I got 8 minutes. I gotta keep moving. It says, above all things, guard your heart. The word guard in Hebrew is the word shamar. And it's an interesting word, but for the sake of time, just think about you're guarding it. You're not leaving it exposed. You're guarding your heart. Think about things you guard. Where's Lance? How many times have you changed your password on your computer? Every 90 days. I've had my computer for 5 years. Lance goes, you know, you really ought to change that password. But think about what we guard. Think about what we guard. We guard our jewelry. You know, my house has alarms everywhere. It has cameras everywhere. It's ready for security gates to be put in. Anything that goes on my property is recorded, just in case anybody's watching. And I have a Rottweiler. And I carry a gun. Think about what you guard. I don't know if you noticed, I do carry, and I actually came up preaching one time carrying, and I forgot I kept going. We are well armed in this church. I want you to know that. But think about what you guard. What do you guard? You guard your jewelry. You guard your documents. We guard world leaders. We guard our gold. We guard our silver. We guard our treasures. We guard, you know, you think about Fort Knox. We guard all these things. But God said, above anything, guard your heart. You can replace gold, you can replace silver, you can replace documents, but you can't replace your heart. God said, above everything, guard your heart, because out of your heart flows every issue of life. Psalms 37:4 tells us why. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires. Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. I'm closing with this. My first closing. Every day, you guard your heart with righteousness. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you sense. I don't care what the Holy Ghost is telling you that doesn't go along with the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I feel like God is telling me. No, that ain't God. Is that in the Bible? Well, but God's telling me. No, that's not God. God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't say, it's not good to commit adultery then, but it's okay now. Well, I can get one amen on this side over here. Not one in this whole area here. Why does he say above everything, listen to this, above everything, guard your heart. Above guarding your jewels, above guarding your treasure, above guarding your gold, above everything, guard your heart. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. And God, when you serve him, gives you the desires of your heart. Now listen to what that means. We think that means whatever we desire, we get. That's not what it means. It means when you have the breastplate of righteousness on, and you just made up your mind, I'm never going to cheat, never going to steal, I'm never going to do this. Don't even, you know, nobody comes up to me anymore and says, you want to buy some marijuana? If they're still coming to you, The wording got out. Say amen.
Amen.
If the devil's still coming to you and saying, why don't you just gossip a little bit? The word ain't out. The word needs to get out that there's no use coming to you. Because every time the devil comes to you, you're going to witness. Because when you serve God, he gives you the desires of your heart. You know how that reads in Hebrew? See, one of the problems in translating from Hebrew to Greek to English, Latin, is we go left to right, but Hebrew goes left to right, right to left. English goes left to right, Hebrew goes right to left. When it says God gives you desires of your heart, the way that actually reads is the things you desire in your heart came from God. So what are you guarding? You're guarding hope. You're guarding your future. You're guarding joy. You're guarding prosperity. You're guarding blessing. You're guarding dreams. You're guarding vision. Because when you are serving God with the breastplate of righteousness, all these dreams and visions and hope and future and destiny all come from guiding from the Lord, because the steps of a righteous man are guarded by the Lord. How many received that this morning? Give the Lord a clap offering. Would you stand this morning all over the building? Guard your heart. Put on every day. Look at me. You just get up every day and say, I'm going to do what's right. No ifs, ands, or buts. Because we battle not with flesh and blood, but we do battle with principalities and rule. Like, remember, if the devil came, why don't you just serve me? We need to be like Jesus. Get behind me, you loser. Everything God does is in the physical and the spiritual. So when God says guard your heart, obviously we're talking about the spiritual, right? Guard your heart and spiritual. A couple months ago, I came back from Israel and I wasn't feeling, I just wore out, you know. That happens when you make a 24-hour trip back and forth. But I went to get a physical, and my doctor said, well, we need to do what do you do when they check your heart? KG. EKG. KG men's goods, right? I need some new shoes. EKG. And all of a sudden I saw the nurse go, she's watching, she says, oh. And I said, oh, good, old bachelor. Oh, let me do this again. Oh. And she goes, I'll be right back. You know that ain't good. Oh, twice, and then I'll be right back. And she left the door open. I could hear her talking to my doctor, and she called another doctor, and I said, yeah, I could hear him talking to that. She comes in and said, listen, you got a blip there. This is not good. There's something wrong here. You got a blip there. So they started putting me through a series of tests, and I finally had the final test a couple days ago. And the doctor gave me the word, and he said, you either have to quit eating pizza, which today is National Pizza Day, and I'm feeling led of the Lord, or you have to take some cholesterol medicine. Take your medicine, and you got a good 20 or 30 years left. 30 years, I'll be 100. I'll retire then. Amen. I'm going fishing. Amen. The reason I bring that up is when there's a blip, you need to pay attention. So I want to ask you today, when God says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, if God was running a Holy Ghost EKG on you, would there be a blip? If there is, let's swallow the gospel pill. Amen. and decide to make our heart healthy again. Amen. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm already 1 minute over. But I wonder, instead of just asking for salvation today, how many of you would say, if God was running, and God is right now, because he wants you to live, just take a gospel. He's running a spiritual EKG on you, and he sees a blip. And you're saying, you know what? My doctor said to me, he said, if you don't take your medicine, it'll catch up. If you do take your medicine, you got 20 or 30 years more of active life. God wants you to take the gospel. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, I can feel God checking my heart. And there's an area or two or three or 70 or 80 in my life that I need God to heal right now. And I'm surrendering to the Lord. Slip your hand up all over the building. Hands going up everywhere. I see these hands, 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 these hands. Put your hands down. Look at me. Look at me. How hard is it? This guy who is a genius says to me, take your pill. Take your pill, and you have 30 good years left. Well, I feel like God is telling me just to trust him. No. You know, it's forbidden not to take expert help and just trust God when God has sent you the answer. You know, that's what it's forbidden. I'm just trusting God. No, God, you know, it's like the guy who's their flood came and his house is flooded. Y'all know the story. And he's praying, oh, God, save me. And he's up on the roof, and a guy comes by in a canoe and says, get in. He goes, no, I'm trusting God. And then the waters, he's up on top of the chimney, and the water's coming. A guy comes by in a motorboat, and he goes, get in. He goes, no, I'm still trusting God. Now the water's up to his knees on the chimney, and a helicopter, climb up, hold on. He goes, I'm trusting God. And he drowns. And he goes to heaven. He goes, God, I was trusting you. Why didn't you save me? He goes, who do you think sent the canoe, the motorboat, and the helicopter? You're here today because God is sending you a lifeline. He's got a wonderful future for you. Just cover your heart with righteousness. Amen. Say this out loud. Father, I receive that my steps as a righteous man or woman from this point forward will not come from me, but come from you. You are my righteousness. Now look at me. Next week, the breastplate of righteousness to the breastplate of the high priest, and hearing the voice of God, and he will lead you and guide you and teach you. Can you imagine the waters, the living waters God has for you? And all you have to do is learn to hear by having on the breastplate of righteousness. I love you.